Mark chapter 2 and verses 18 to 20. The Great Issue. Part 1. The Great Issue. Let me just read the verses. Mark chapter 2, verse 18. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast." But then he goes on, but this will be the next discourse, "No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth," and so on, onto a garment. No garment. But this passage today, this section today, is the introduction to this huge punchline that's coming in the next discourse. It starts off with a simple, or seemingly simple, technical, small point. John's disciples fasted. The Pharisees fast. Now, but your disciples aren't like that. Now, why is that? This is what they put to Christ. It's a question of fasting, and it's a question of sadness, and a question of joy. Your disciples are in the realm of joy, shall we say, and happiness, and liberty, and all that kind of thing. But John's disciples and the Pharisees, they're in this kind of rigidity, this sadness. And these people are curious to know why Christ is not taking the same line as the Pharisees and John. Now, there's huge significance underlying this question and this issue, and above all, Christ's answer. What we're really talking about is not fasting as such. What we're really talking about is not John the Baptist and Jesus Christ as such, you know, in these local scenes. Really, what we're talking about is the change between the old covenant coming to his end and the new covenant which Christ is bringing in. This is what this is about. Verse 21 to verse 22, with the garments and the cloth and so on, the old wineskins, this is brings out into the open. There's the old here, which is past and finished and over. It's fulfilled now in me. Well, this is not quite yet, but it will be fulfilled in me. And with Pentecost, the new will come in. This is what we're talking about. Now, this is a vital point in Scripture, the discontinuity in the covenants, the difference, the distinction between the covenants. Many people, Reformed people, see one great covenant throughout the Bible, and they see it as a flat book, and it's all there. It's all equal. It doesn't matter where you're in the Old Testament or the New Testament, the Old Covenant, New Covenant, it's all the same. But it's not. There are great differences between the covenant. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth. But, I know the but's not in the original Greek, but it is there. The implication is very powerful. John 1:17. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, it's not that there's no truth and mercy in the old covenant, and so on. And it's the same here. It's not that there's no sadness in the new covenant. Jesus says, my disciples will be sad, of course, when I die. And when I'm buried and they come to the end of what they thought were all their hopes. Yes, of course there is sadness. And in the Christian life there is sadness. There is difficulty. There is confusion. And there is doubt. There's fear. Yes, but we know this. But the difference between the old covenant, of course there was joy in the old covenant too, to a measure. But the old covenant is characterized really by sadness. But the new covenant is characterized by joy. The Scriptures are full of this. For example, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, we rejoice now, even though we're in trials and afflictions, we rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Now that can be said of the old covenant. 1 Peter 4, verse 14, and so on and so on, it goes on. The characteristic of the old covenant, the characteristic of the new, bondage in the old covenant, rule, regulation, law, dryness, sorrow, fasting. The characteristic of the new covenant, joy, liberty, hope, peace, rest. You see, this is what we have here. we have the bud in this passage. The flower comes in the next discourse. We have the embryo here. We have the caterpillar. The next one will show us the butterfly coming into life. Jesus is talking, because the question is raised, and he's turning it to this massive issue about the discontinuity of the covenants. Now, this affects everything. The church, evangelism, preaching, the gospel, everything. And it plays a major, major role in the issue of understanding the Bible. And I urge you to think about it very carefully and take this issue here. It's just raised here. But read Romans, read Galatians, read the Hebrews, read Philippians, and you'll see it. Ephesians, you'll see it throughout the Bible. This doctrine is made clear. But I want to concentrate upon happiness. Happiness is the mark of the believer. Of course, as I say, there is sadness, there is difficulty, there is disappointment, but there is underlying happiness. Now, what hymn shall I finish with? Well, I finish with Top Lady. Happiness, thou lovely name, where's thy seat, oh tell me where? Learning, pleasure, wealth, and fame, they all cry out, no, it's not here. Where will I find it then? Object of my first desire, Jesus, crucified for me. Shall I read that? No. How about this one? Happy Christian, God's own child, chosen, called, reconciled, once a rebel, full of taint, now a duteous, humble saint. Happy Christian. No. How about Philip Doddridge? Oh, happy day. No, well, I'm going to read this to you by Joseph Irons. Oh, the happiness arising from the life of grace within, when the soul is realizing conquest over hell and sin. Happy moments, heavenly joys on earth begin. On the Saviour's fullness living, all his saints obtain delight. With the strength which he is giving, they can wrestle, they can fight. Yeah, we still have to do that in the new covenant. Happy moments when King Jesus is in sight. Nearer, nearer to him clinging, let my helpless soul be found. There's the secret. All my sorrows to him bringing. Yes, we have sorrows, but we have a friend in Jesus. May his grace in me abound. Happy moments with new covenant blessings crowned. Amen, Joseph Irons. All the world has nothing charming. All the world now. Foes and sorrows flee away. Nor is death itself alarming. Jesus took its sting away. Happy moments, dawning of eternal day. This is not just a technical doctrine, my friend. Happiness is there in Christ. Deep, eternal happiness. Not superficial pleasure, not entertainment. Deep, lasting happiness. Joy with God, rest and peace with God is yours for the taking, my friend. If you will receive Christ, come unto me, and I will give you rest. All you who labor, and I will never cast you away. Come unto me, and I will save you. There's the invitation, my friend, and I plead with you, I urge you, I press you. Do not despise it. Do not turn it aside. Come to Christ and know this joy, everlasting joy, inexpressible. And full of glory, sins forgiven, eternal life in Jesus. Amen.